If you've been following along in the garden at the beginning of the program, you put down pre-emergent a couple months ago when we had some early winter rains. But if you got that pre-emergent down, now is a good time to hit your lawn with Weed and Feed. Although the windy spring that we've had has brought in plenty of those opportunistic seeds that weeds love to spread everywhere. The Bonides Weed and Feed will kill hard-to-kill broadleaf leaves, clovers, creeping Charlie, dandelions. It'll keep your lawn weed-free through the summer with Bonides Weed and Feed. It's available all over the state. If you're listening in Tucson, Mesquite Valley Growers carries Bonide Weed and Feed. For our Prescott listeners, Waters Garden Center out on Iron Springs Road and Christopher's Garden in Lakeside. For our White Mountain residents, Bonide Weed and Feed for a complete green and weed-free lawn. It works through the roots and through the shoots. As we went to break, we had Sylvia stuff spitting through her air duct. Pick it right back up there.
Built in 97, just recently replaced. Some of the problem was solved and some was not. Let's bring Sylvia back into the conversation. We're going to introduce her to our friend Todd Russo of Rias, Home Energy Audit Specialist and Home Performance Specialist. Todd, we haven't even told people how to get a hold of you this whole show. Should we give them a phone number?
Our phone number, 480-969-7500. We've got people on the line if you want to schedule an audit now.
And you're talking to the entire state of Arizona. Why don't you mention which areas you specialize in?
We focus on the Phoenix MSA, so Maricopa County.
Okay, there you go. All right, we have Sylvia. Let's bring her back into the conversation. We were kind of talking, Sylvia, about some of the things we're suspicious of off air. So come on back into the conversation.
Hi.
All right. So built in 97. One, the black stuff, is it black stuff that you're finding on the walls of the house?
No, it's kind of like, it looks like really thick lint. We were told by the people that installed our AC units that it was insulation. But like I said, they can't get into our crawl space up in our master bedroom because of how the ceiling is.
This doesn't sound too unlike the house in Mesa I had you go fix for us a few months ago.
Yeah, we find disconnected ducts. I mean, what it sounds like, Sylvia, is that when they put your new units in, something's not connected. They either disconnected a plenum or something that is now your return air is most likely intaking insulation from your attic space. What you could do, I mean, one of the tests that we do on our auditors, we isolate the air conditioning system and we pressurize it to identify where leaks are, and we can tell you exactly where the leak is and how much it's leaking. And then, you know, if you can't access it, you know, drywall's not the worst thing in the world to repair. It's not hard to do.
That's true.
And the cost, you know, a small amount of money to fix some drywall to get the you have to fix this. If you don't, you know, your air conditioning systems are really going to have a short life. And obviously, you're going to have a ton of particulates in your house, and it's unhealthy, and your house is not going to cool down the way it's supposed to.
All of the issues she's dealing with right now. So a pressure test of the ductwork, that 97 vintage, tells me it's a high probability that it's a flex duct insulation.
Right. And there was duct that was installed in the late 90s. It was called Great Bagger Flex.
And that's not a compliment.
No, it's not. And it instead of having a silver exterior lining, it has a light gray lining. It looks almost like a trash bag. That ductwork does not work. It deteriorates in the heat, and it just literally falls apart. And anytime we see it, we have to tell clients, you've got to remove it and replace it. That may be the circumstance if you have the what we call the gray bagger flex. Your ductwork might just be falling apart from years in your attic space and the heat of your attic. It wasn't designed to sustain that level of heat.
It's all stuff that can be diagnosed, but a typical just air conditioning company may not have the wherewithal, the equipment, or the knowledge on how to pressure test that system.
We actually have a lot of air conditioning companies that call us and say, hey, we've got this problem with our client. Can you solve it?
Yeah.
And we sort of have to say, well, you know, we're an air conditioning company. Are you sure you want us to come in there and tell your client what you did or didn't do right?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for the call, Sylvia.
Let's go to Jo. She's got a 1960s home with floor duct. Welcome to the program.
Hi, you're the magic person, and only Rosie's people work on my house doing everything, and everyone has been out here to solve my problems. And we've talked about you for a number of years, but they look at the house and they say, we don't think anybody can solve these problems. all the ducks are under the floor. It's a flat roof house with a foam roof. And we have about 95 feet of those nice 1960 single pane windows all on one side of the house.
Okay.
We also have our original air conditioning, so everybody's taking great care of it.
Yes, okay.
So where do we go from here?
Well, and so it's 1960s, single pane, lots of glass, underground supply and return air, original age air conditioning equipment, and the problem is?
Well, the problem is if we need a new unit, do we try to put in a central unit? Do we put in different units for different zones of the house? What's the way to go, since it seems to be a unique situation?
It is a unique situation. And I think, I don't know, Todd, you'd have to take a look at that. I mean, there's many splits. I mean, there's underground ductworks certainly big enough to run a camera through it and check the integrity of the units. Where would you go on that one?
Ma'am, I'm assuming you have a crawl space underneath your house?
No, I think she's direct burial.
Oh, okay. Which is not a bad thing. Usually it returns underground.
No, yeah.
You know, we do have a lot of new technology and new equipment that we can use to they have mini splits, and then they have these slim duct mini splits, and then they have where you can take one condensing unit and put four different air handlers on it. And it does work great in allowing you to zone every room or zone different areas. And they can be effective in reducing your energy bill, having the house be more comfortable, because you can independently, specifically set thermostats at different locations, and they have their own unit. The downside to that is they're expensive. You know, you're effectively buying four times the number of air handlers rather than buying one central unit. So they are great systems. We install these multi-zone systems through Fujitsu, but like I said, they're significantly more expensive than a central air conditioning unit. If you have a 1960s air conditioning unit, just replacing that central air is going to come with a whole lot of benefit.
Oh, it is.
It's going to come with a whole lot of benefit. Obviously, if you're thinking about replacing the 90 square foot of single pane windows, you want to take that into consideration, because that'll dramatically affect how big of an air conditioning unit you need. In our climate, especially if that's western facing or south facing glass, at a minimum, maybe put sunscreens on it. That'll reduce the solar radiant heat gain a lot. If you don't want to invest in replacing the windows, that's what I would suggest. Spend a little bit of money on some sunscreens. That'll help a lot. But if you are replacing the windows, you want to take that into consideration before your air conditioning unit. Because if you replace the windows and then put the same size air conditioning unit on, what's going to end up happening is your unit's going to be oversized. Air conditioning systems use seven times as much electricity on startup than they do when they're actually running and operating. So when you have an oversized air conditioning unit, it turns on, turns off, turns on, turns off. We call it short cycling. When a unit short cycles, what ends up happening is it not only does it use a lot more electricity, it's actually less comfortable in your house. So that oversized unit, what it does is it never removes the moisture in the air. So my in-laws and my wife's family is from Wisconsin. Every time they come out here, they're like, it's 100 degrees. It doesn't feel like 100 degrees. And we say, because it's a dry heat, right? The reality is in July and August, you have 35, 40, 45% humidity in the air, believe it or not. And for the same reason, when it's 100 in Houston versus 100 in Phoenix, it feels a lot hotter in Houston because the humidity so high. Is the same reason when you have an oversized air conditioning system on your house, we never remove that moisture out of the air. And so although your thermostat says 78 and it's 78 in your house, it doesn't feel like 78. Whereas a right size unit will remove all that moisture. It'll be dry. It'll be colder. It'll feel colder than you know, a house with an oversized unit.
Did you just use Houston as an example? That is the most air conditioned city.
Yeah,
in the world is Houston.
I believe it.
Let's get her name and number. I'll be traveling in that part of the valley here in the next week or two. Before she makes an expensive mistake, let me just get there, take a look at the house, and kind of guide her step by step. She's a loyal listener, a loyal user of the Rosie on the House referral network. I'll reward her for all that by just stopping by and visiting with her.
Next in line is Kel. Is it Kelly?
Kel.
Okay. I thought I was looking at a typo on my screen. Kel, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Hey, I just caught you earlier saying about one of the mistakes they make with AC systems is that there's not enough returns. And you said that you can have returns in every room in the house, and that's desirable?
You can. They typically, here's the issue. When you put a return in a bedroom, it needs to be sized correctly, okay? So if you the building itself, if that particular room, let's use the master for example, if the building itself calls for 220 CFMs of air to keep that room at a specific temperature, because the amount of air is basically how much cooling we're delivering. What we have to make sure we do is when we size a return into that bedroom, we need to make sure we're not taking out more than the same amount of supply we're putting in. So if we're introducing 225 supply or cold air, we need to be taking out 225 return or, you know, the air before it hits the air conditioning unit. Otherwise, we're going to have a pressure imbalance. What we want is perfect neutral pressure inside the room. And so oversized returns can create a negative pressure, which we don't want.
I don't think people understand how sensitive pressure is inside a house. Just turn an exhaust fan on, it changes everything.
Pressure balancing, nobody... building science, one of the great things about building science, it taught us about pressure mapping. And people really take it for granted, okay? So, and everybody's concerned about having bad weather stripping on a door and, oh, I've got a leak or we've got an attic connection. And what I always tell people, I always ask them the question, does a balloon leak if it has a hole in it? And everybody says, well, yeah, of course a balloon leaks if it has a hole in it. I said, no, the answer is the balloon only leaks if it's blown up because you have a positive pressure on the outside walls of the balloon. So therefore, the balloon will leak. It's the same thing with your house. If you have a room with no return in it, you close the door, that supply air is filling that room up and creating a positive pressure. Now, when you have a leak in that room, all of that cold air is going to be going out, the penetrations into the attic, the leaky windows, those sort of things. Now, if you have a neutral balance in that room itself, those leaks will not move air between them, right?
Yeah, it's perfectly balanced. We were in a home just this week, listeners, who want a master bathroom remodel. Second story, facing west, and they said, hey, we had Rias here just a couple months ago. All they did was move the location of the supply registers, and we can't believe the comfort level difference in this room.
Yeah.
Just relocating how the air is distributed can make a big difference.
Airflow is a real science. It really is. I mean, so, you're talking velocity, you're talking throw rates. There's a lot to it.
Now, when you're talking air, what does it mean when you turn on, the AC kicks on, and the filter... get sucked up through it, and you can almost see it bending and twisting and getting.
Or
you just feel it's going to suck right
whistling.
Through there.
If you have a whistling noise, if you have now, granted, you know, there's not one answer for every application. Obviously, if you have an extremely dirty filter and it's acting like a piece of plywood, right? That's not what we're. But if your filter is relatively clean and it sucks up against the return grill itself, because what that means is you have undersized ductwork. Yeah. And so you have what's called static pressure. You have really high static pressure.
Again.
Yeah, you have
really... And again. Yeah. It happens over and over and over again, more when we get back.